your hometown newspaper of the air brings you What's Doing in Western Michigan. In Western Michigan, a transcribed roundup of news and views from the cities, towns, and countryside of Western Michigan as recounted in the daily and weekly newspapers received in the WKZO newsroom. Your reporter, Willis Dunbar.
Good afternoon. The sun shone so hot in Allegan that its rays, coming through a window, set fire to a box of clothes in Marvin McDaniel's residence, says the Allegan Gazette. Western Michigan generally sweltered in a premature heat wave and then ran for sweaters and overcoats when the mercurial thermometer plummeted downward Friday afternoon. It brought trees and shrubs and flower bulbs out with a rush. The South Haven Daily Tribune quoted a warning by Stanley Johnson, director of the Michigan State College Experiment Station at South Haven, that the next 10 days may be critical ones for area fruit growers. Unseasonably warm weather causing the quick blossoming of fruit trees was the reason for concern. Johnson said the danger of frost damage to fruit trees in the Fruit Belt area of Western Michigan is not past until the middle of May. The area has had only one freeze of major importance after mid-May during the past 30 years. Blossoming fruit trees, particularly right after the petal fall, are most susceptible to frost damage. Petal fall already has begun in peach orchards and in some early plums, said Johnson. The average date of the last killing frost during the last 45 years has been May 6th, but one was recorded as late as May 27th. The unusually warm weather also had the folks over at Holland worrying last week. The city's big annual Tulip Time celebration is not scheduled to start until May 18th. Many tulip bulbs and lanes already are in bloom, reported the Holland Evening Sentinel. Old-timers recall, however, that several years ago, tulips were in peak bloom May 1st, and then cool weather came along, keeping the blossoms much as they were. By and large, says the Sentinel, local people agree they'd rather have the tulips early than late. It's always easier to point to tulips slightly faded and say, these were lovely last week, than to say, they should be out in 10 days. The Sentinel carried last week a picture of the cover girl on this year's Tulip Time program, and she made a very pretty picture indeed. She is Miss Sally Brower, a junior at the University of Michigan, and a daughter of parents who live in Holland, Dr. and Mrs. J.J. Brower. By the way, WKZO has laid plans to bring you 5 broadcasts from the Holland Tulip Time this year, one each day the festival is on. In addition, CBS will originate a segment of the Country Journal program in Holland for coast-to-coast broadcasting. Up in Stanton, the county seat of Montcalm County, a unique venture in civic education was launched last week. The idea originated with State Treasurer D. Hale Brake, who comes from Stanton. It sprang from a belief that too few of those graduating from high schools have sufficient knowledge of how our government works to be able to assume an intelligent role in civic life. Last week, seniors from all the high schools in Montcalm County met at Stanton for a series of discussions with state officials. The Stanton Clipper Herald reported that in addition to Mr. Brake, there were present at the conference Dr. Lee Thurston, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Fred Alger, Secretary of State, Merle K. Ayton, the Auditor General, Stephen Roth, Attorney General, and Dr. Albert Hustis, State Commissioner of Health. Rather than a series of lectures by these dignitaries, the conference took the form of panel discussions in which the students had a part. It is planned to hold these so-called government days in other counties. There were other news items last week concerning the schools and education. The Lake Odessa Wave told that a bond issue for a new elementary school building in that community was approved by the voters. The Nashville News reported that people of that town will vote on building a new grade school at a special election Friday, May 20th. The Allegan Gazette noted that the Allegan Board of Education has decided to put up to the voters on June 13th a proposal to bond the school district for $600,000 to enlarge school facilities. A long-range building program was recommended by a citizens' committee at Bellevue last Tuesday evening, according to the Bellevue Gazette. And the Centerville Observer told that ground had been broken at Centerville for a new school, shop, and classroom building. The Athens Times reported that the local graduating class went on a 4-day cruise of Lakes Erie and Ontario last week. The Allegan Gazette reported that L. Keith Cheney, who recently resigned as superintendent of the Martin Rural Agricultural School, has accepted the position of superintendent of schools at Schoolcraft for next year. The Vicksburg Commercial told that Schoolcraft voters turned down a proposal to raise $200,000 for a new school building in a close vote last Monday. In Holland, Friday and Saturday, delegates from 70 high schools attended a student government workshop. Holland High School long has been noted for its student government program. On the farm front, it was home demonstration week in Michigan and other states last week. Achievement days were held in most of the counties of the area by home demonstration members. In Berry County, 640 members of extension groups met on Wednesday, according to the Hastings Banner. 24 Allegan County groups celebrated the occasion with their annual Achievement Day last Tuesday, according to the Allegan Gazette. In Van Buren County, the event took place at Lawrence. A home economics scholarship of $100 was awarded to Miss Rosemary Hartman of Lakota, a senior student at the South Haven High School, says the Paw Paw Courier Northerner. Well, let's take a look now at the lighter side of the news. Come in, Harry Travis.
Well, we all know that merchants are clever at finding an excuse for staging a bargain day, whether it be real or alleged. But there was a new one that cropped up in the Greenville Daily News last week. A local refrigerator dealer, John S. Watson, had a half-page ad in the paper with a streamer announcing a reduction in prices in commemoration of the Battle of Bull Run. The Coloma Courier reports that all the girls over that way are so daffy about being drum majorettes that now they've taken to making dolls dressed up like drum majorettes. The Cedar Springs Clipper has a story about an 84-year-old fellow with the common name of Fred Smith. But Fred must have something special on the ball. Fred lived in a little town of Pearson from 1876 until about 7 years ago. He's staying nowadays with a daughter near Grand Rapids, but he comes back to Pearson every month to get his government check cashed. And he always rides the lone Pennsylvania train which runs up that way. The funny thing is that the train never stops at Pearson except when Fred is on it. Approached by a reporter from the Clipper last week to find out how he got the train to stop, Fred said he didn't have any idea. He just walked up to the ticket window and demanded a ticket to Pearson. And they always stopped and let Fred off.
Thank you, Harry. Now for some random items from the news of Western Michigan during the last week. The Lawton Leader tells that the local Eastern Star chapter will hold a special meeting next Tuesday evening with a program commemorating the 50th anniversary of the founding of the local lodge. Three Rivers pilots are making plans for a dawn patrol at the local airport July 17th. Dawn patrols, you know, are gatherings of flyers for breakfast from all over the state, with the schedules made out through the Michigan Department of Aeronautics. Eight bands and more than 1,000 members are expected to march in a parade at Dowagiac next Sunday afternoon, May 15th, at a convention of the 7th District to the Veterans of Foreign Wars, says the Marcellus News. Next Sunday afternoon, May 15th, at a convention of the 7th District to the Veterans of Foreign Wars, says the Marcellus News. The Paw Paw Courier Northerner says that a local cannery and a local buyer have started receiving asparagus from growers. The price being paid is the same as last year. The cannery expects to receive about 1,000 tons of asparagus. As Ethelbert would say, that's a lot of asparagus. The crop appears to be of good quality this year, incidentally. The Nashville News reports that a campaign to raise the price of a permanent war memorial is being conducted in Berry County. The proposed memorial will be a museum building and will be situated in Charlton Park. Estimated cost is $22,000. The Allegan News tells that the Allegan Rotarian celebrated last week the 25th birthday of their organization in Allegan. Presiding at the meeting was Dr. J. H. Vaness, the first president of the club. He and six other charter members were honored guests. The Greenville Daily News tells that a capacity crowd attended a ceremony at which ground was broken for a new clubhouse by the Flat River Conservation Club last week. In the afternoon, P.J. Hoffmaster, State Director of Conservation, broke ground for the new building, and in the evening, About 200 members and guests of the club attended a dinner celebrating the occasion. Smelt and beaver were featured on the menu. The beaver for the dinner were trapped by members. Another tragedy occurred near Cobourg last week, according to the South Haven Daily Tribune. A 2-year-old tot fell into a creek and was drowned. His body was found after an extensive search through the woods and sand dunes by hundreds of people. In the same neighborhood, last February, an 83-year-old woman and her grandchild perished in a fire. There were laughs as well as tragedy in the news. Over at Bronson, an entertainment called the Donkey Olympics was held. Local men rode trained donkeys as they played polo, had a tug of war, tossed basketballs, and performed other stunts. The proceeds from all this went to improve Greenwald Park in Bronson, says the Bronson Journal. The Three Rivers commercial carried a picture of a fine-looking Dutch family that has come to live in that community. They've been engaged as tenants of a farm at Fabius. The man of the family, Gijsbertus Regtoit, specialized in dairy farming in the Netherlands and attended agriculture school there. During the war, he was a member of the underground and helped an American flyer forced to bail out over Holland reach safety when that country was occupied by the Germans. The picture shows a fine-looking couple and two remarkably beautiful children. The family has no relatives or friends in Michigan, but are becoming acquainted with their neighbors and are well pleased with their new home. There are sounds missing in western Michigan along the Pennsylvania Railroad line running north from Fort Wayne through Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids to the Straits of Mackinac. For years, people have been used to hearing the peculiar high screech of the freight locomotives and the deep-throated, lonesome sound of the passenger engine whistle. Well, they are no more. The Vicksburg Commercial told last week that the railroad had completed the retirement of all steam engines from the division and henceforth will operate only diesels. There's a new feature in the Allegan Gazette, a column written by one Buzz Stutch, who used to be a newspaper man and now operates a restaurant in Wayland. Here's a story he told in his first column called Bullboard. Three older people came in here one night when the place was full of kids. They were strangers. We get a lot of them in here. They ordered dinners and sat in the first booth by the jukebox. There was a man and two women. The old couple sat on one side of the table, the woman on the other. Get the picture. Kids swarming all over the place. Yakety, yakety, yak. Can't you hear yourself think? Then just before the waitress took their meals over, I looked and saw these three people saying grace. Then the jukebox started banging out bongo, bongo, bongo right in their ears. As soon as I could, I went over and asked them if they wanted me to turn down the jukebox. They smiled, and the woman asked the couple something in a language I didn't speak. I don't know what it was. Then they answered her in the same language. The woman doing the interpreting told me what they said. Here it is. No, leave everything the way it is. Where we have been, there is no music. No one smiles, and no one is happy. Don't change anything. Then the woman told me that the other couple were relatives of hers, recently of Poland and countless DP camps in Europe. They were on their way to a new home near Cadillac. Ever since then, noise hasn't bothered me near as much. Just save the pieces, kids, and I'll try to put them back together. And now, here's Alan Cook with a bit of late news and a note about the weather. And that's what's doing in western Michigan. We'll be back next Sunday at this same hour with another transcribed edition of your hometown newspaper of the air. This is Willis Dunbar now, bidding you a most pleasant good afternoon.